71 in your Scofield Bible, page 632. We're going to read all of this psalm. We'll read the verses responsively. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God. Unto Thee will I sing with the harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. And I'll read for you without your turning to it. Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And let's pray. And Father, Thou wouldst be pleased, we know, to do a work here tonight. We pray that Thy Holy Spirit would certainly have opportunity to work in each and every individual heart and life. Help us to prepare our souls, our minds, our hearts for Thee tonight. Bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hear everything. It's just normal up there on my treble and bass. I want you to listen very carefully as I talk to you tonight. I do not intend to be negative or melancholy or in any way sad. I do want to talk to you very frankly and ask you to do something for me. Let me explain tonight the 71st Psalm. The psalmist I think David was getting old. He said in the psalm, "Cast me not off in the time of old age." Again he said, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." David was, if he wrote this psalm, and I think he did, he was getting older, and he was a senior citizen. And he faced the reality, but he said, "Now, Lord, don't forsake me now that I'm old." He said, "Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation." David said, "Dear God, I think I have some things to tell this younger generation. I think there's some things that I have learned that they need to hear. And I pray you'd let me live long enough to tell this younger generation what I've learned." And then he said, "Let me show thy power to everyone that is to come." Didn't say, "Let me talk of thy power." "Let me show thy power." Didn't say, "Let me teach in some seminary, some theology." Said, "Let me show thy power." Not teach of it, not tell about it in history, but show it now. And then he said, "Dear God, increase my greatness." Now he's not talking about his fame. He's talking about his ministry, his influence. He's saying, "Dear God, increase the scope of mine influence as I am older and gray-headed." Then he said, "Dear God, I you know that I'm fighting more battles than I ever fought." He said, "Deliver me, O Lord, out of the hand of the wicked." He said, "I am as a wonder unto many." He said, "Mine enemies speak against me." He said, "They lay wait for my soul." He said, "They say that God has forsaken him," meaning that his enemies said that God has forsaken David. And David is saying, "Dear God, I'm older now. I'm getting old. I'm getting gray-headed, and I'm up in years. But let me live long enough to teach what I've learned to the young people and to show them the mighty power of God. And, dear God, I'm willing to accept the enemies, but just give me the victory in my life." Then he said, "Lord, I promise you some things. If you'll do this," he said, and I'm almost quoting every statement I make now. He said, "Lord, if you'll do this, I'll praise thee." He said, "If you'll help me in my old age, unto thee will I sing." He said, "If you'll help me in my old age and increase my ministry as an older man," he said, "I will praise thee more and more." He said, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day." Then he said, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." I like this statement. "I will make mention of thy righteousness and thine only." Now, these are promises that David made to God. First, he said, "Dear Lord, this is what I'm asking." Then he said, "Dear Lord, this is what I'm willing to take my enemies." But he said, "Lord, if you'll help me in my old age, these are the things I'll do." Then he presents his argument. He said, "Dear Lord, I think I have some right for you to consider this request." He said, "Thou hast taught me from my youth, and I have," meaning from his youth, "declared thy wondrous works." David said, "When I was a boy, I served you. When I was a boy, I killed Goliath. When I was a boy, I was faithful to you. Now, dear Lord, I think I have a right to ask you to help me now that I'm an older man." He said, "By thee I have been holden from the womb." He said, "I have been planted." He said this in the 92nd Psalm. He said, "I have been planted in the house of the Lord." Now, he concluded that by saying, it said about him in 1 Chronicles 29:26, "And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. And then in verse 28 it says, "And he died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor." The past few months have been very traumatic for me. And I want to sort of unburden my heart to you tonight. I started my 37th year as pastor of this church, August 30th. I started my 70th year of life on my 69th birthday on September 25th. Mrs. Hiles and I finished our 50th year of marriage on October 24th. I finished 50 years in the ministry on October 24th. I'll be quite frank with you, I've been very emotional in the last 5 months and very introspective. Tonight I want to ask you to do something for me, and I want to lay my argument after I ask you. I want to ask you to pray for me every day for 1 minute. This prayer. I want to ask for you to ask. Give me 1 minute a day. And take 1 minute a day and ask God for me to give me more years to serve Him and to serve you. 1 minute a day. That's all I ask. Let me explain. Psalm 71, for over 4 years, has been my psalm for my ministry. When I reached my 65th birthday and became what I call the year of the senior citizen. Now, there are some folks that say it's 55, some say it's 60, some 62. But for me, I became a senior citizen at 65. I adopted Psalm 71 as my chapter in the Bible for the rest of my life. I want to tell you tonight first my prayer. I pray, dear God, don't quit using me as I'm older and as I'm old and gray-headed. And dear God, let me help rear another generation. I'm telling you why I want you to pray for me. I want to help rear another generation here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. My prayer is, Lord, don't quit using me. And my prayer is, let me help rear another generation. And my prayer is, with David, let me have a chance to teach the younger generation what I've learned. I've been around a while. I've known the great preachers of the last generation and this generation. I've got something to say. And I've asked God to help me to teach them what I've learned. Now my prayer is, I say, dear God, let me show them your power. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life talking about what God has done for me. I want to spend the rest of my life showing you what God is doing for me. I don't want to be used to was or has been or going to do or I want to be a nower. And I pray that prayer. Lord, let me show them your power. Then I pray this prayer. And all these are prayers that David prayed because I've adopted this psalm. I say, dear Lord, increase my greatness. I don't mean by that for God to make me have a great name. I'm not talking about the name of greatness. I want God to increase my scope of influence. I want more preachers than ever to come to pastor school. I want more preachers than ever to adopt the King James Bible. I want young preachers to get back to old-fashioned standards and convictions. I want to be able to influence more young preachers to the old-time religion and the faith of our fathers. That's my prayer. Don't quit using me. Let me help rear another generation. Let me teach them what I've learned. Let me show them your power. Increase my greatness or my influence. And then David said, and this is my prayer, comfort me and help me on every side. Now what it means is, in every area. I want God to help me to lead this church to see the greatest days it's ever seen. I want God to help me to lead Hiles Anderson College to see the greatest days it's ever seen. I want God to help me to lead the Hammond Baptist Schools and City Baptist School to the greatest days they've ever seen. I want God to help pastor school to have its greatest influence. I want my speaking around the country to have the greatest influence it's ever had. I'm asking God in my old age and the age that I'm old and gray-headed, I'm asking God for these things. And then I'm asking God to let me show His strength. That's what David said. Let me show thy strength. David didn't say, let me talk about thy strength. Let me show thy strength. I want to show the young preachers of America, an old preacher can holler and scream just like they can. I want to show the young preachers of America that an old preacher can get excited just like they can. I want to show the young preachers of America an old preacher can work as hard as they can. I want to show his strength. I mean, I want to demonstrate his strength. I watch little children's choirs sing. And I can't help but wonder, will I be here when they grow up? Will I be here when they graduate from high school? I watch the beginner choir sing. Always think about it. Every time the beginner choir, junior choir, primary choir sings. I say, dear God, help me to be able to marry these kids when they grow up. Help me to be their preacher when they're teenagers and when they get to college. I go to college chapel. I see those young preachers and their wives, future wives out there in those pews. And I say, dear God, help me to live long enough to see these guys out in the ministry. Help me see these young men at Howells Anderson College mature in the ministry and go across this country doing great works for God. That's my prayer. I want you to pray for me. I want to have many years to serve God. I tell God sometimes, you're not going to show favoritism, are you? You let R.G. Lee preach when he was 90. You like him more than you like me? God always says, yes, I do. I said, God, Dr. Rice preached in his 80s and died at 85. You going to show favorites? I mean, Dr. Seidler pastored till he was in his 80s. Dr. Robertson's now, I think, 86. He's still going. And God says, yeah, but I know, but Robertson retired from the pastor in 72. I said, he made a mistake. When Dr. Malone got about 70, he retired from the pastor. I picked up the phone and called him. I said, you're making a mistake. Somebody came in to pastor's church, and the church went down. Somebody came in, it went down more, farther. Somebody came in, it went down farther. They called him back, and he called me on the phone. He said, you were right. I said, I'm always right. He said, oh, brother of the house, I wish I'd listened to you years ago. I wish I'd not quit. Dr. Malone is in his 80s, or about 80, and he's still pastoring. And I said, dear God, you're partial to Tom Malone? You're partial to Robertson? You're partial to John Rice? Are you partial to R.G. Lee? I watch the couples I marry walk out the aisle. That's one of the most emotional times of my life. After they're married and they walk out the aisle together, I watch them as they walk. And I say, dear God, help me to be able to live long enough to rear their children, help them rear their children. So I'm asking you for 1 minute a day, 1 minute a day, if you would, just put it in your calendar somewhere, your schedule somewhere, and just pray, dear God, help Brother Hiles to have more years to serve you. Now, may I tell you my claim? The psalmist presented his claim. And here's what I tell God. I've served you from my youth. I have no wasted years. I've sown no wild oats. I have no years in my youth when I was out on dope or liquor or nightclubbing. I have no years of rebellion against my mother. I have no years of rebellion against my father. I have no years of rebellion against my preacher and against my church. And I'm a little sick and tired of people saying, well, young people come to a place in their life where they have that rebelling stage. That's the dirty devil's statement. You don't have to have that rebellion age. That's what some psychiatrist said that doesn't know decency from a horned toad. I am. So I say, dear God, I think I have a right to ask you. Let me have more years to serve you. I've served you from the time I was a boy. I say, as David said in verse 17 of the 71st Psalm, said, David, thou hast taught me from my youth. And I said, dear God, my mother taught me. I've got some things I need to teach people that my mother taught. Mother's not here. Somebody ought to teach what mother taught me. And my Sunday school teacher, Proctor Boyd. And my pastor, J.C. Sizemore. And my friend, John Rice. And men with whom I preach now in heaven, like Lester Roloff and Bob Jones Sr., and G.B. Vick, John Rice, and Bill Rice, and others that I knew. They taught me some things. And by the way, I was the only young preacher that traveled with them and heard them and learned what they had to say. I was the only one, and there's nobody knew them like I knew them that's a young preacher. And most of the folks that knew them are already going to heaven now. Dear God, there's some things that Bob Jones taught me that America needs to hear. There's some things that John Rice has taught me
that our young folks need to hear.
And I say, dear God, you know I've served you from my youth. And I say with the psalmist in verse 17 when he said, I've declared thy wondrous works. Nearly 57,000 times I've stood behind pulpits across America and around the world. And I've said, dear God, you know I've declared your works. I've never changed. I've never walked the pulpit with anything but a King James Bible. I have the same standards I had 50 years ago. I mean the same one. I was against drinking 50 years ago, against drinking now. I was against smoking 50 years ago, against smoking now. I was against mixed women 50 years ago, I'm against mixed women now. I was against women wearing pants and shorts 50 years ago, I'm against women wearing pants and shorts now. I thought men ought to have long hair 50 years ago. I'm for men having long hair, short hair now. I haven't changed. The same convictions and the same doctrine and the same position. Lord, you know that's true. I've not turned. I've not yielded. I've not gotten scared. I've not dipped my sails. I've not bowed to the modern trends of the world. I haven't tried to get a crowd by cutting my message. You know that's true. I've declared thy wondrous works. Nearly 57,000 times, I tell him. Nearly 50 years. 49 states and 19 foreign countries I've declared his wondrous works. Nearly 8 million miles on, over 8 million miles on jet airplanes I've flown to declare his wondrous works. 1,000 preacher boys all over this world that I've helped train in the service of God. Over 400,000 preachers have sat in my congregations around the world in these years. I count the preachers that stand and are recognized in every service and add them up. It averages about 30,000. Now some come to hear me several times. But it averages about 30,000 a year when the preachers stand. I add it all up and it averages about 30,000 preachers a year. That's my claim. I claim again. I said, Lord, you said in Psalm 92, 13 and 14, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall still bring forth fruit in old age. And I said, dear God, I've been planted in the house of the Lord. My mama and I, when I was a boy, I tell him this. I'm presenting my case. I said, my mama and I, when I was a little boy, we went to church every time the doors were open. And we had to walk. All kinds of weather. Didn't matter. We were there sometime when the preacher didn't show up. If there was a wedding at the church, it didn't matter who was getting married, we went to it. Church doors were open. There's a funeral at the church. It didn't matter who died, we went to the funeral. If the doors are open, we went to church. And I believe in that with all my heart. I said, dear God, I've been planted in the church house. My mama cleaned the church building when I was a boy for $2 a week and all the loose chains that fell out of the envelopes. I used to go around open envelopes during Sunday school. And I said, dear Lord, I've been planted. I have not come to church on Sunday morning and that's all. I have not changed and decided not to have Sunday evening services. And I haven't even changed the time we have Sunday evening services. And dear Lord, when I was a boy, I went to church four nights every week at least. And probably averaged five nights a week all of my growing up years. I was in the church house. And for these 50 years nearly of preaching, every week I'm at the church six nights. And many weeks I'm at some church seven nights. Dear God, you said that I could bring forth fruit in my old age if I were planted in your house. My social life was built around the church. And I want to say this. Your kids ought to have their social life built around the church. Your kids shouldn't go to a public school and meet all the heathen kids. Your kids shouldn't play on a public school athletic teams. Your kids shouldn't play in the little leagues. I mean, there's enough going on at First Baptist Church of Hammond to keep your kids as busy as they need to be kept. David said, Lord, I've been planted in the house of God. It's been my home. I'm not just a little bouquet. I'm a potted plant. I'm not a cut flower. I'm a plant planted in the house of God. And I said, "Dear Lord, you said I bring forth fruit in old age." I've said it again and again, "Dear Lord, I've got a right to ask you for more years because I've defended your word." And I said the other night, and I say it often, "Dear God, there's not a preacher who is really nationally known in America, a pastor left who's really nationally known, that's fighting for the King James Bible." And I'll say this, and I told the Lord this. Now, this may be bragging. I don't know. I said, "Dear Lord, I've caused more preachers to stick with the King James Bible than any other preacher that's ever lived." I tell him, even now I'm asking you. I say, "Dear Lord, I was good to old preachers. When I was young, I've always been good to old preachers. I was good to my pastor, defended him, stood beside him. Had him preach for me when he was almost senile. I was good to Dr. Rice. I was good to Dr. Lee. I've been good to Dr. Robertson. I was good to Dr. Bob Jones. I was good to Brother Olaf. I was good to the older preachers. Now, Lord, I feel like I've got a right to ask you, let me have more years to serve you." I realize that Spurgeon died several years younger than I am now. I realize that some of the greatest preachers that ever lived died several years younger than I am now, and many of the great preachers died about my age, such as H.A. Ironside, J. Frank Norris, and others. I don't mind going to heaven. I think I'll enjoy it. But I got some things I did sure want to do. You see, in heaven you can't win a soul to Christ. In heaven you can't catch the tear of a broken heart. In heaven you can't try to piece together the lives of people who wrecked and ruined their lives. You can't do that. I've got some more marriages I want to mend. I've got some more lives I want to salvage. I've got some more tears I want to catch. I've got some more heartache I want to help share and bear. God, let me live long enough to serve you some more years. I've told you my prayer. I've told you my claim. Let me tell you my promise. David said in verse 14, "I'll praise you more and more." I said, "Dear God, if I shout more than ever did, you let me live longer? If I praise you more and more, I promise you, if you'll let me have more years to serve you and to serve the people, I promise you I'll praise you more and more." Verse 15, David said, "I'll get more people righteous. And I promise God I'll get more people saved." I mean that. Dear God, I promise you, 10,000 people will be a minimum for baptisms if you let me live longer. If you let me live long enough to have more years in the ministry, I promise you one of these years I'll baptize 15,000 people in 1 year. I promise you that. And I promise you I'll speak of you, as David said in verse 16, "I'll speak of you." And David said, "And I promise I'll give you the glory." And I promise God, I promised if you let me keep on going, I won't retire. I won't retire. As long as my feet will carry me to the pulpit, I'll walk to the pulpit. As long as my voice will carry to be heard, it'll be heard. I'll not retire. I'll not decide I want to be an evangelist and go from place to place and preach. I promise you, as long as you'll give me strength, I'll be behind the pulpit of First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'll preach, I'll lead, I'll do my best, I'll work by day and by night. Give me more years. And then the hardest thing I've said to him, it's my acceptance. I've said, "Dear God, I'll accept the enemies that come." I realize that I could leave First Baptist Church of Hammond, do nothing but travel around the country, and I would not be any more a controversial preacher. I'm controversial the same reason the Dallas Cowboys are controversial. Same reason that Notre Dame's controversial. You have the best football team in the nation for many, many years, and you're going to get shot down. You go to the Super Bowl like the Cowboys have now, it would be for their eighth time, I think. You're going to be shot down. And as long as the old First Baptist Church of Hammond
stands like a fortress against evil and for this Bible and keeps on growing and keeps on going and keeps on getting thousands saved a year, we're going to have enemies. We're going to have them. That's all there is to it.
The psalmist said, I'm a wonder among many. In verse 7. He said in verse 10, mine enemies speak against me and counsel together. He said in verse 10, they get together to fight me. And then he said, dear Lord, let them be confounded. I've taken these minutes tonight for several reasons. One is, I want you to be assured, as I said last Sunday night, I said to somebody else, not a member of the church here, I want you to be assured that as long as I'm sane and strong enough, I'm going to walk in this pulpit and pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I'm going to give my life to keep Hiles Anderson College what it ought to be. Every time a devil sticks his ugly head up, I'm going to knock the devil out of him. I'm going to walk guard around him. Somebody starts saying our young ladies can wear pants just to play sports, I'm going to knock the pants off of them. Somebody says that no longer do young people in Hiles Anderson College have to go soul winning. I'm going to rise up and say, as long as I'm alive, they'll go soul winning and go home. I want to rise up to see to it, to live long enough to see to it that somebody starts to put another Bible in Hiles Anderson College, I'll kick them out and kick the Bible out with them. I've often said behind every successful, great college, there's a mean old man at the top. You're looking at him. I don't want enemies, but I'm willing to have them. I told God that. I'll take them. I don't want them, but I'll take them. And I want America to know. And I want this sermon to go. It'll go all over the world in it by tape. And I want you to spread it. The old man's in this fight to death. To death. I said before, I'm going out standing for three things. Number one, the blood of Jesus Christ. Every time a John MacArthur says he's still at the foot of Calvary, I'm going to say you're full of prunes. And I'm going out for the local, independent, New Testament Baptist Church. I'm sick of these parachurch organizations. I'm tired of people thinking that some other institution is as good as the local church. The greatest youth for Christ in the world is the young people's department of a Baptist church. The greatest child evangelism in the world is the children department of an old-fashioned independent Baptist church. I like Caleb. Like him more every day. He's 85 years old. He said, I'm as strong as I ever was. I think he's lying through his teeth. But I think he thought he was. I think I'm as strong as I ever was. I haven't seen a young preacher yet is more active behind the pulpit than I am. Haven't seen him. I like Caleb. But he said something else. He said, I want that mountain. He didn't say, I want that plateau. He didn't say, I want that valley. I want that farm. I want that ranch. He said, I want that jagged mountain. I'm 85 years old, but I'm as strong as I was 40 years ago. Don't give me that claim when you settle in the land of promise. Don't give me that farmland. Don't give me that ranch land. You give me that mountain, that rugged, jagged mountain. He asked for the hard place. He asked for the high place. Would you like to know who lived on that mountain? The Anakim or Anakites, the giants. The Goliaths lived on that mountain. And this old man said, I want those big enemies. I want the big boys. Bigger they come, the harder they fall. I want the big boys. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to join me in making these next few years the greatest years this church has ever seen. I ask you to pray for me, seriously, earnestly, fervently. I have a calendar. I know that in 8 months, my 80 will be ended. I know that. As far as I know, I'm in good health. I got this hernia. I'll die with it. As long as they make trusses, I'll trust them. But as far as I know, I'm in good health. I feel good. I enjoy life. But I want with all my heart to perform the ceremony for those kids on the front row. I want with all my heart to be in charge of be here at the graduation exercises when they graduate from high school. I want with all of my heart to see our young preacher boys at Howells Anderson College reach their potential in the ministry. I want to be here to see it. I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going, thank God. I know where I'm going. 2 and 2 is 4. Sunrise, east, sets, and west. I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that's all settled. But I don't want to go on the next load. I don't want to take the next train. You know why? Because I got some people I love I want to help. I got some young people I want to help rear. I remember years ago, and I'll close with this. I got a letter from a lady in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul area. She's related to you. She wrote me a letter and said, "Dear Dr. Hiles, I beg you. I have a daughter who's, I think she said, 12 years old or so, junior girl. I beg you, keep out." And she's crying. You could tell it. Then I saw her up in Minneapolis, and she told me the same thing personally, through tears. She said, "Brother Hiles, keep Hiles Anderson College the same. I want my daughter to have a Hiles Anderson College to go to in a few years." I kept that thing in the back of my mind, and I fought. And the faculty will tell you, I go out there and I throw fits and have a spell and throw stuff and say, "We're not going to change. We're not going to change. We're not going to change. We're not going to change." That girl's, is she here tonight? She's here in school now. She's here tonight. Now, I wonder how many other girls out yonder, 11, 12 years old, who 6 or 7 years don't need a Hiles Anderson College. I'd like to be here to see to it, walk guard around it, and see to it that it's what it is tonight. It's the same thing 6 or 7 years from now. No highbrow theologians. Piano recitals, you don't sing Michi Vachi by Gucci, Gucci by Back. You play the songs, the gospel songs at the piano recitals. I'm tired of the Christian world trying to copy the pagan heathen world. Tired of it. There still needs to be some institution that sticks its tongue out at modern education to... And as the Christian, I heard the other day, a college up in Wisconsin is accredited now. I used to preach up there every year when they wouldn't even thought about being accredited. Heard about a college in Florida that wouldn't have thought about accreditation until the old man passed off the scene and a young fellow came in. And now the college is accredited. I want to be here long enough to see to it that Hiles Anderson College sticks its tongue out at modern philosophy and modern theology and say, "We don't need your heathen accreditation." And if I do go to heaven and you get accredited after I'm gone like these two schools had, I'm going to ask God, let me have those levers up there that cause hurricanes and fires. And I'm going to cause a wind to come and blow down the whole all the buildings on the campus. I'm tired of going to Fort Worth and seeing First Baptist Church where Frank Norris used to preach, down to a few hundred people and gone back in the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm tired of going to Detroit where Dr. G.B. Vick had the largest church in the world. Now that he's gone, they got a couple of hundred people up there and they're leasing out their building to secular institutions. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of going to Spurgeon's tabernacle and seeing that big, used to be a 5,000-seat tabernacle where he preached about this many people every Sunday night. And they tell me a couple hundred people assemble there. It doesn't have to be that way. And I want to stay around here long enough to make this thing so solid that all the devils in hell can't shake what we built here on this corner. Don't feel sorry for me. I feel good. I'm happy as June bug on May 31st. I'm not melancholy. I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. I just got some things I want to do. And I want you to give me 1 minute a day, each of you, asking God to give me the years so I can do what I want to do. And I challenge you this year to make this the greatest year our church has ever had. You'll be amazed what God's going to do for us this year. You'll be amazed the victories we're going to have this year, the lack of which we've never seen before. You mark it down. Let's give ourselves anew to doing the work of God here on this corner as long as He gives us breath to breathe and strength to serve. Our Heavenly Father, I've sort of unloaded my heart tonight. Something I've been planning to do for several weeks and really didn't want to do it. I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me. I don't want anybody saying, well, preacher, we hope you'll... I just want to keep on going, that's all.